On this week's edition of New York Now, we'll give you the latest on the spread of the coronavirus in New York and how the state is trying to curb the pandemic.
There are thousands and thousands of people who have the virus who we're not testing.
We've been at the state capitol covering the disease with some of the state's top reporters. Two of them join me this week with a deep dive on what's happening. And restaurants in New York have been shuttered and limited to takeout and delivery. Melissa Fleischut from the New York State Restaurant Association joins me in studio to discuss. Thanks for joining us this week. I'm Dan Clark, and this is New York Now.
Funding for New York Now is provided by WNET.
Today, the Senate majority will pass
a law prohibiting it, and we will take them to court challenging it.
Yet another stand for New York and sending a message to the nation.
Welcome to this week's edition of New York Now. I'm Dan Clark. It's been less than 3 weeks since the first case of coronavirus was diagnosed in New York State. In that time, life in New York has completely changed. Businesses are now required to have the majority of their workers work from home. Restaurants and bars are closed and open only for takeout and delivery. Mortgages have been waived for 90 days in some cases, and the public appears to have adjusted to a new life of social distancing. Just for context, New York now has more positive cases of the coronavirus than any other state in the country, and in some cases, more than other countries entirely. We want to give you as much information as possible about what the state is doing to respond and the pandemic. So joining me now here on the roundtable to start the show is Josefa Velazquez from the nonprofit news organization, The City, and Bernadette Hogan from The Post. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
As I was reading that, I can't believe it has only been 3 weeks since we saw our first case of the coronavirus. And now, Thursday's numbers, because we're taping on Friday, it was above 4,000.
It's sort of incredible how quickly everything is happening. And not like, I think seeing that number freaks a lot of people out. Don't be freaked out. And that's what I've been telling people. These numbers are going to go skyrocket. Mm-hmm. And that's largely because New York is testing so many people each day, whereas other states that are like comparable sizes are only able to test like 1,000, maybe 2,000 people each day. Like just in 1 week alone, we've tested like 10,000 people. So as the governor has said repeatedly, like this isn't like a random sample of people that we're testing. These are people that are most likely going to be positive or have come in contact with people because there's not a lot of these tests available. So everyone just needs to breathe a little bit.
Right, and it's a blessing and a curse to see that number rising and rising. I mean, of course, the volume is terrifying, but at the same time, it's a good thing that we are able, you know, we've got the boots on the ground and we're able to mobilize, you know, the brightest and the best. I mean, now even besides the tests, we've got reserve forces of healthcare workers coming in. I think the Post, at least, reported that we've got now 1,700 former doctors and nurses who enlisted in New York City alone to come in and help with this COVID-19 situation.
So there's been this disagreement, and we'll get to the week's actions, as I call them. There's been this disagreement between the governor and the mayor. Maybe it's not so much a disagreement as some games of semantics. The mayor saying this week that there may be a shelter-in-place order in the city. The governor saying that he would not authorize that. It has to be state-approved. Bernadette, why is the governor pushing back on that?
Well, it's all how you market it. So the shelter in place, the governor is likening that to a nuclear bomb situation, a nuclear shelter situation. You know, this is wartime. And granted, shelter in place has been implemented. It was first in San Francisco. Mayor de Blasio talked about it earlier this week. And he said, you know, we're going to have to make a decision whether or not New York City should in fact follow suit. But the governor's saying, no, 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 we don't want to imprison people, because that's, I mean, I suppose what people are naturally thinking about. But what the governor wants to do is make this a statewide effort and potentially even bring in New Jersey, Connecticut, and now possibly Pennsylvania. But the idea of shelter in place, it does freak people out because it's like, oh my God, am I gonna be stuck in my house? So the governor is trying to smooth out those bumps.
Right, and I think it was on Tuesday that the governor had said, pushing back on rumors that there was going to be this kind of major lockdown and quarantine of the city. I just want to listen to some sound that we have from the governor really quick on that.
There are many rumors out there, part of the fear, the anxiety, People spread rumors. Well, maybe you're going to quarantine New York City. We hear New York City is going to quarantine itself. That is not true. That cannot happen. It cannot happen legally. No city in the state can quarantine itself without state approval. And I have no interest whatsoever and no plan whatsoever to quarantine any city.
So the thing about this is, and I don't mean this to sound funny, but Josepha and I were talking about this and on Wednesday, I think, and it really kind of, I'm going to be honest with you, I had a lot of anxiety at the start of this week, and mm-hmm. I still have that anxiety, but to see the governor and the mayor have this public disagreement over this kind of semantics really grounded me at the time.
It's normal. Like, yeah. It was weird that they were getting along so well to begin with. So this was a moment of like, oh, this is what normal feels like. And it's also really strange because suddenly you have the governor who's been bashing the president over a variety of issues pertaining to New York suddenly change his tune and realize we need his help. And so I can't go around bashing him on everything. I need to sort of temper myself and say, like, we need you, and start being a lot more sort of gracious. And the president, same thing to him. I mean, he tweeted earlier this week that Andrew Cuomo needed to get more done or something along those lines.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
The tone has sort of changed as to like, all right, everyone relax. We need to work together.
The tone, and I believe the governor is talking to the president every day or at least every other day now. He's saying that he's talking to him. And I have found it remarkable that the governor, and this is somebody that we know has really fought against the president over the last 4 years. And he's standing at these press conferences now saying, thank you, President Trump. There's this slide, I believe, from Tuesday or Wednesday that I have on video somewhere that he has a slide that says, thank you, President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. And that is something that I never thought I would see under the governorship of Andrew Cuomo.
Right. And again, like Josepha said, you're used to them going back and forth. And of course, the tweets, the volley. But it's really nice to see the fact that we have our leaders now working together to, and they understand that this is very serious, but there are moments of, you know, human empathy and compassion that are very nice to see, especially we've been in these press conferences every day. It's very tense. You only have a finite amount of time to ask very important questions that a ton of people are asking, but to know that our leaders are communicating is nice to see.
So let's just go over some of the things that happened this week, because we were talking before we came on air, and I can't believe that this all just started 3 weeks ago, first off. And then these actions only started Sunday. So Sunday, we have New York City schools are closed until April 20th at the earliest. Bern, do we know what is happening with kids in terms of daycare and meals going to them?
Right. So this week, because Tuesday was when this, Monday, Tuesday.
Right. It's so hard to keep track of everything.
I know. I can't believe it's Friday. But this week, the mayor said, okay, close schools, the governor, close the schools, but we're going to figure out meal programs for students that might not be able to have that opportunity at home. But going forward, they're also figuring out commuting, but also education. So, and then the governor closed down schools statewide, at least for 2 weeks. But it's also touch and go and fluid, and sometimes these directives come out without all the details, but they need to act so fast because, again, you can't sleep on this.
Exactly. Monday we had the tri-state agreement, as the governor's calling it. It now has Pennsylvania in it, but it started with New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Bars and restaurants are limited to takeout only. Gyms, movie theaters, and state casinos are closed. We're going to talk to Melissa Fleischut later in the show, so I don't want to get too much into that one, but just so our viewers know that off the top. Schools statewide closed this week starting Wednesday. That order came out Monday. And then another curious thing happened on Monday. As we were preparing for lawmakers to come back to the state capitol, session was canceled. What happened?
It seems that it's really tricky to get 213 lawmakers and their entire staff onto the third floor of the Capitol when we're supposed to be practicing social distancing. So session was then moved to Wednesday, which feels like an eternity ago. And lawmakers were voting in small groups of, I think, 10, maybe 12, mm-hmm. something along those lines, in these huge chambers. And yesterday we find out that we have a third assembly member that has tested positive for coronavirus, and she was in session the previous day, and it just is a really touch-and-go situation. What happens to the state budget that's due April 1st? Can lawmakers come up to Albany at this point? Does session even continue? It's complicated.
Right, on the state budget, we were, all three of us were in a briefing with Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie this week, and he was asked, what is gonna happen to the budget? Are we just gonna have this bare bones spending plan, or is it going to be just a regular, you know, we're just doing this, spending plan plus policy, we could have marijuana, surrogacy, things like that. We do have a clip from Hastie to play, and just when he was asking about that, so let's listen to that really quick.
But I just think we have to, as I said, try to balance our constitutional duties with adhering to protocols. That's probably the best answer I could give you, because what's in, what's out, what's you know, possibly in or possibly out, we haven't you know, gotten that far. I would say the list isn't as big as it was before, but there still are some policy requests that on the table.
So the thing about this thing from this clip from Carl Hastie is that we really don't know what's going to happen in the next week and a half, 2 weeks in terms of the state budget. What are both of you hearing? Is this going to be a simple, straightforward, let's just get through this kind of thing? Or are we going, you know, deep into the weeds like how we usually do?
I mean, look, they can't even get people to come up here. But the problem is you need the executive and you need both chambers of the legislature. And just based on rules alone, you need members to vote in person. So if you can't get however many 200 lawmakers up here, how the heck is the budget going to get done? Now, the director of the budget, Robert Mujica, he was saying, he was talking about a lot of fluidity, and they keep using terms like this.
What does that mean? Because he said that 2 days this week. Do we know what they mean? They want some fluidity, flexibility kind of things in the budget?
Right, and whether that means policy or whether that means fiscal, and whether that means also, okay, let's leave some room so we can edit this later on. Which, and he was talking about shifting pools and payments potentially for later on once we have a better economic picture. I mean, we all reported on Comptroller Tom DiNapoli's estimation that we could be $4 to $7 billion in the hole.
Right.
Just judging from January's numbers, and that could even increase based on other outside estimations as well.
Josepha, do you remember, maybe it was last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, time has, you know, escaped me for this period of my life, but do you remember when the Cuomo administration was trying to put into the budget this thing where mid-year they could shift around Medicaid and things like that? Is this something that maybe we're talking about?
I think we're honestly in unprecedented territory. I think all of us have covered the state capitol for a pretty long time now. And this is, and you can sort of tell where things are going and make predictions. And this is the first time that, like, I have no idea what's going to happen in 2 days, in 3 days. I mean, I think up until probably Wednesday, the plan was to keep going ahead with the budget and to start negotiating that through. We saw law enforcement officials here in Albany. But then we got a third member with coronavirus. And at that point, that number is going to grow just based off of how this illness travels from person to person. So I don't know. I mean, it seems that the executive office has enough powers to sort of shift money around and make changes where they need to be made. But this is an economic just halt in general. People aren't going out to restaurants. Money's not transferring hands. Everyone is... half the people are being laid off of their jobs, and unemployment's going to soar. So the state's going to have to figure out a way to adjust for that. And I don't know at this point how, when we hit the bottom.
And, you know, obviously we haven't, but people are already being laid off at restaurants. And it, with new businesses being closed, the malls of the state, I believe, are closed now. That's a huge hit for retail workers. These companies are not the kind of companies that we usually see provide, you know, paid leave. So we'll have to see where it goes. I just want to touch on the kind of state help of this, because this week we saw lawmakers, and this didn't surprise me, but we saw both Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie and Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins say the majority of the help because of this is going to have to come from the feds. And I just want to listen to a clip really quick from Andrea Stewart-Cousins talking about just this word that I thought was very striking. She said that it's going to have to be a federal bailout. So let's listen to that really quick.
And I am looking at billions of dollars of deficits. And frankly, we all know that it has to be a national bailout here. It's not a couple of anything. This has to be a national effort that is going to be impactful for all of us. So, that's I think the most reasonable thing to consider.
So what have we seen from, I guess, the governor, and do we know if help is coming from the federal government? Let's start with you, Bern.
Right. So we already have the National Guard that came in last week when New Rochelle, there was the 1 mile radius quarantine with the first cluster, the largest cluster in the United States as of that point, and I believe still. But, and then the Army Corps of Engineers, the governor met with them earlier this week, and they're here to identify other spaces to create hospital, you know, we need more hospital beds. So where it goes from here, again, it's really hard to judge and it's really hard to tell, but we do have boots on the ground as of now.
Josepha, before we run out of time, the Federal Defense Procurement Act, the governor is now calling on the president to use this to essentially order businesses to make ventilators so we have them, because as we saw this week, the governor is projecting that we may need as many as 12 times as many ventilators as we have now in the state of New York. Are we getting a response from the federal government, or how would that work?
So it would work in the sense that companies that currently are in production line would stop what they're doing and start producing medical equipment. So we're talking ventilators, masks, gowns, protective equipment for healthcare workers. And it's basically what we did in wartime. And there are already production lines in France that have halted their specialty productions, and started making medical equipment, making swabs, because we just don't have enough of them. So it's really just a shift in general of how we all sort of operate and are part of this effort. And whether the federal government decides to use that power, it's still unclear. The governor has asked for it. Even the New York City mayor has also requested the same thing. But there's also this federal stockpile of medical equipment that we're trying to tap into. And, you know, like you mentioned, we're asking for 12 times the amount of ventilators we have. The federal stockpile has somewhere north of 10,000. New York State alone might need 30,000 ventilators.
Wow. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. Josepha Velasquez from the nonprofit The City. Bernadette Hogan from the New York Post, thanks so much for spending your Friday morning here taping with us. So as we said, restaurants and bars are closed and limited to takeout and delivery until further notice. We don't know how long that's going to last. Coming up next, we'll speak to Melissa Fleischut from the New York State Restaurant Association about how businesses are coping. By now, you've seen that restaurants in your community have been closed due to the coronavirus outbreak. They're now limited to takeout and delivery only. That's placed a major strain on some restaurants who see the decision as necessary, but tough on their bottom line. With me now is Melissa Fleischut from the New York State Restaurant Association. Melissa, thanks for being here on New York Now.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me.
So this is a major blow to restaurants, some calling it I don't want to use this term, but kind of a necessary evil at this point. I'm just curious, as somebody who connects with the industry, what have you been hearing from restaurants right now?
It's been a crazy couple of days from the initial decision that they had to go to 50% of their usual maximum capacity, all the way down to delivery and takeout, and now trying to adjust to this new world that we're in. They're struggling even with takeout and delivery. Most of them, you know, that business is just never going to make up for what a regular restaurant volume would look like in sales. And some of them have chosen to close down completely at this point. So it's going to have a major impact, and nobody knows when it's going to end.
Right. That is a huge point, is that the governor gave this order, I believe, earlier this week, and he said until further notice. We don't know when this is going to end. This isn't a 2-week thing. This could be a month-long thing. How have you seen restaurants adapting to this? Because I know here in Albany, some of my favorite restaurants have gone to delivery and takeout models. Obviously, there's no sit-down, but they're trying to get by. What have you heard from them?
That's what we're finding as well, is that our membership, we're trying to keep track as much as we can if they let us know whether or not they're trying to do temporarily delivery and takeout only, or if they're temporarily closed. Anecdotally, based on our responses so far, about 70% are giving takeout and delivery a try.
Oh, that's
about
great.
30% have closed completely. So they're trying to make it work. I'm hearing varied things depending on the type of restaurant, really, and what type of setup they had before, if they were already doing delivery and takeout. It's having varied success at different locations.
Right. How hard is it for a restaurant that was sit-down only, or maybe the majority of their business was sit-down and they did do takeout? How hard is it for them to very quickly, in a few days, come up with this model of ordering over phone, maybe ordering over the internet? Is it an easy process for them?
It's pretty tough right now. They would have to try and figure out what kind of food would actually stay and be packaged well and go home well. So they'd have to figure out from their menu items which ones would actually work well for takeout. Then they'd have to find a marketing platform and figure that out if they didn't already have one in place. And then, you know, get the word out that they're actually trying to do it. So it's a pretty complicated process if they weren't already doing it before.
So it's tough right now. It's going to be tough for however long we see. Do you foresee, or have you heard, that some restaurants may be, unfortunately, handing out some layoffs or letting some employees go?
I think already we've started to see that, that there have been massive layoffs in the industry. I know Department of Labor has implemented different schedules, so like you're supposed to apply for unemployment insurance on different days based on your last name, and that's due to the overwhelming demand for unemployment insurance right now. So, you know, again, anecdotally, we're hearing a lot of restaurants have laid off their employees because they know they just aren't going to be able to make payroll in the weeks to come.
When you say that some restaurants have closed, you said 30% or 40%?
30% from what we have so far from our membership.
Does that mean closed and the possibility of reopening, or are we talking about closed and this is just too hard a hit?
Right now, I would say the 30% number relates to those that are temporarily closed due to the coronavirus. Hopefully they'll reopen. We have heard from a couple that are planning to close permanently, unfortunately, but it's only a handful right now that have made that decision already.
So what can restaurants do in the meantime? While we're going through this, I know that we've talked about takeout and delivery. That's an option for them. Some restaurants can't do that. What can restaurants be doing to kind of supplement what they are losing from this rule from the state?
I don't know if there's much they can do. I mean, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to allow alcoholic beverages to be delivered as well. So that's something new and different that the state has allowed us to do now. And, you know, that'll help with the sales as well in addition to the food. But nothing's really going to make up for being able to be open all the time. They have to look at new operating procedures, ways to cut their expenses. I know that they've been speaking with their landlords and their vendors and talking to everybody about ways to defer their payments. They just need to, as much as possible, cut their expenses as well as they can right now.
So we saw on Thursday of this week that restaurants are going to now be eligible for loans through the Federal Small Business Administration. What's that? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the SBA has loans available. They're low interest. They're not no interest. I believe it's 3-something percentage rate back. And it's long-term repayment, so that's helpful. But prior to Thursday, we hadn't been declared a disaster assistance area. And yesterday, we heard from Empire State Development that the entire state has now been declared a disaster assistance area. So anyone in the state is eligible to apply for the SBA loans from the federal government.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So besides that, what can the state government and the federal government do in the long term, I guess, to mitigate this impact on restaurants? Do you have any ideas? I know this just was 4 days ago, but I'm wondering if you've been thinking
about
it.
Well, we're learning as we go, and we have been able to understand a little better what the role of each level of government is in this crisis and how they operate. So the state government, we're really looking to them for help with payments that we have to make. So the big one right now that we're asking about is sales tax. It's due Friday, March 20th. So we were asking for those payments to be deferred. 90 days maybe would be the right number right now. We just don't, again, know because we don't know how long this is going to last. But asking for those payments to be deferred. And then really anything else in terms of fees or fines that the state can push off for us would be helpful. There's an issue with SLA when we can't pay the alcohol bills right away. We get put on a COD list. So that's a little tricky right now. We're asking for help with that. In addition, rent is a huge concern coming up on April 1st. So any help that the government can give us on rent abatement. I know there was an announcement yesterday on mortgages, but rent would be a huge help right now. We're hearing from folks that some of the landlords are being difficult about the rent because they're still open for takeout and delivery, but they're not making what they used to. So rent payments are a huge concern.
All right. Melissa Fleischut from the New York State Restaurant Association, thank you so much for joining us here on New York Now this week. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
And thank you for joining us here on this week's edition of New York Now. Be sure to follow us online. We are doing daily coverage on our blog. That's nynow.org. And follow us on social media at nynow_PBS. Until then, thanks for watching this week's edition of New York Now. I'm Dan Clark, and be well.